Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Tomlin, Dubs, is a hard worker, should be out there. He's good on special teams. He's not good as an outside corner. And the whole Cam Sutton thing, Beanie Bishop played pretty well. Did Beanie Bishop deserve to lose his job to Cam Sutton? I don't think so. I mean, he really didn't. And Cam Sutton is now one of the root of their major problems. And what do you do when there's a root of your major problem? As Mike Tomlin said, you make changes. And that would be one of the first changes that I make.
It would be difficult to say that he's played better than Bishop. And I think the other thing with Beanie is that's a guy that theoretically would continue to get better, right? I mean, more reps, he should be getting better. He showed enough to probably at least still get the opportunity to play significant snaps. And if he hit a wall, then you have, you know, Sutton there potentially to spell him. But I agree with you. I probably would have stuck with Bishop as much as possible and just saw maybe he really would develop into a guy that you could count on down a stretch and into the postseason. But now it's kind of tough to go back to him if he hasn't been playing much recently. I think this goes back to one of the preseason issues. Everyone said depth at cornerback and a lack of a number two receiver, and both of those have kind of loomed large during this losing streak.
We love having Rob Long from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore on with us, and I just thought about this. He asked when he was on with us, with Pomp and Joe, what was Patrick Queen's big play?
Outside of the Ravens game, I'll ask you this. Give me a Patrick Queen play.
That air is not good for radio.
And I think about that with Cam Sutton. Like, what is Cam Sutton's big play this year? Can you pull one play that Cam Sutton has made that made you say, wow, he really deserves to be in there outside of Beanie Bishop?
There's none, sir.
Radio silence, just like there was when Rob Long asked the question to Pomp and Joe. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Bob in New York. What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Great.
Long-time Steeler fan, live in New York, and I think what most Steeler fans and myself included in that can say is this team has been, is, and will continue to be a mediocre team. I think we should blow it up. You guys may or may not agree with this, but here's my plan. And then let the guys with the big bucks follow through. Trade TJ. His value is at its highest. It's only going to drop. Trade Pickens. Trade Minka. You're going to get number one picks for a couple of those guys. Minka maybe a two, maybe a three. With those draft picks, and in the draft with the Steelers picking probably around 25, 26, if this kid is available, you want to talk about the quarterback of the future, I would run to the podium and take Jalen Milroe. The kid's not
Jalen Milroe? Jalen Milroe, Bob, over even Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward?
We're not going to get him at 25. Okay, there's no way we're going to get Sanders or Cam Ward.
But if you're trading T.J. Watt and you're trading Minka and you're acquiring all these picks, why would you not trade up to get the number one pick in that type of situation?
I'm not going to argue with that. If we could do that, fine. I don't think we're going to be able to get up to get those two guys, one of those two kids. If you're right, then I'm all for that. If you're wrong, I would take Jalen Milroe. The kid's got a cannon for an arm. He's a tremendous athlete. You give him the coaching that so-called Tomlin is the greatest coach on the planet, right? And this kid can develop into a quality quarterback in the NFL, a top-flight quality cornerback. Now, again, you guys, if you agree with me, if Cam Ward or Sanders are not available, what do you think of what I've just outlined? Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, and we appreciate the call, Bob. There was somebody who actually proposed this a couple of days ago on FS1. Jason McIntyre on The Herd with Colin Cowherd said, I took a lot of heat when I said over the offseason the Steelers should trade T.J. Watt and start over, but I wasn't wrong. I was just early. I looked for 9 or 10 weeks, but this team needs to start over. What do you do in the offseason if you're Pittsburgh? And he said trade T.J. Watt for a couple of draft picks, a couple of first-round picks. You might be able to land two for him. He's 30 years old. Minka's 28. Cam's 35. Cam's not going anywhere. But would you trade T.J. Watt? I think the question would more so be, because I don't think the Steelers would do it, would T.J. Watt and his agent come to the Steelers and request a trade if they don't win a playoff game this year? Because T.J. Watt is going to go down like Mike Ditka, like Barry Sanders, who I know won, what, one or two, as some of the greatest players of all time. All time to not win a playoff game or have such minimal playoff success. And Cam Hayward's also going to fall into this category because I think Cam's going to be a Hall of Famer. It might take a while. He might not be first ballot like TJ is going to be, but I think he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. When you look at this team as it's currently constructed right now, and this is what's just so crazy to me, Russell Wilson's going to be a Hall of Famer. TJ Watt's going to be a Hall of Famer. Cam Hayward's going to be a Hall of Famer. You might not think it, but Minka, I think, has a chance to be a Hall of Famer. So that's four Hall of Famers on your team. And you're having this level of success. And a lot of that has to fall on the coaching. A lot of it does have to fall on some of these other peripheral pieces that are just not helping the Steelers get it done enough. And their lack of availability in the wide receiver room, where I think they really thought they had Ayuk, and they really thought Roman Wilson was going to be a huge piece on this team. What do you think of that at 412-928-9370? Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevy. 0% financing in all 2024 Chevrolet EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. Showers today and cooler with a high of 49 and a low of 34. Got up into the 60s yesterday. Pretty good December weather, if you ask me. Austin Bechtold in for Joe Starkey and Bob Pompiani from behind the glass to the hosting chair today on the Pomp and Joe Show. Sean has a headline, and we have a message from Malzi right here on the FM. Ah, yes, it's the Pomp and Joe Show, but it's your friend City Limits. Austin Bechtold from behind the glass to the big chair, Joe Starkey's chair. We had a chance to talk to Bob Pompiani an hour ago as he was on his way for the Mike Tomlin press conference, which you will hear at the top of the hour right here on 93.7 The Fan. I'll be joined by Brian Bacco, the Post-Gazette, to talk about everything that Tomlin has to say. How will Mike Tomlin react when he's asked about Deshaun Elliott calling out the defense and basically saying that guys are wide open and tackling isn't good enough, and Cam Hayward saying if 10 guys are doing their job and one isn't, we're screwed? How will Tomlin address that? Joey Porter Jr., will he be able to play in this game? What does Mike Tomlin think about how Russell Wilson's played over the last few weeks? I'm sure all that will be discussed. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Somebody asked on the text line about Roman Wilson. Is no one allowed to speak about Roman Wilson? Why doesn't he play? Well, he's on injured reserve. This has basically become, I think, just that Roman Wilson is redshirting this year. It's basically his college redshirt.
Couldn't get on the moving train, right?
No. That is what Tomlin said. He could not get on the train. He's played 5 snaps this year. It's basically the season that Aaron Rodgers had with 5 snaps, but a little bit more concerning because we know Aaron Rodgers played the first 4 for the Jets and was done. Different circumstance, but it kind of reminds me of that. Expectations obviously a lot higher for Rodgers, but...
So is Wilson going to go like in solitude and complete darkness this offseason? Is that what you're suggesting?
I sure hope not. We have seen him on Hard Knocks, so I can confirm he has not been captured by aliens. He has not been kidnapped. Roman Wilson is still around.
He'll be on the McAfee show every week next season.
Maybe he can be on the Pomp and Joe show.
There you go.
Maybe that should be a possibility. But I think Roman Wilson was looked at this season as somebody that the Steelers were trying to depend on to be a huge contributor in the offense. I think that they probably expected him to be their number two, number three wide receiver, more so number three, and that they would acquire somebody. But Mike Williams is what he is. Not as fast as he used to be, still somewhat athletic. We saw him make a nice catch but out of bounds against the Chiefs. Might be important to, you know where you are on the field. And the guy that called in about Jalen Milroe, I just don't understand it. I think Jalen Milroe is probably one of the most overrated quarterbacks in all of college football. What game did you like from him? The 11 of 26 with a 72 quarterback rating, three interceptions when they got blown out against Oklahoma. Congrats, they beat Auburn. He threw for 256 and a pick.
Listen, it's the SEC, okay? It's just different there.
It's just different. It's just different in the SEC. With what? Western Kentucky when he threw three touchdowns. Beating up on a bad 5-7 Wisconsin team. He did throw over 374 against Georgia. That was a good game. He did throw a pick in that game. Jalen Milroe, in 12 games this season, has thrown a pick in over half of them. And he's thrown two interceptions or more in three games. South Carolina, Tennessee, and Oklahoma. I just question his decision-making.
There's some other quarterbacks that could be pretty decent that are coming out or that could potentially come. Now, Ewers has not made a decision, right?
No. And there's lots of rumors that a Big Ten school is going to offer him like a significant sum of money.
He might, well, I mean, he was already at Ohio State for a couple weeks. He might potentially go to the draft. I saw Jackson Dart, who some people think could be one of the better quarterbacks to be had.
Yeah,
it's going to be
draft.
A risk with, honestly, anyone, even I would say that there's question marks about Sanders, right?
There are.
So I don't know that there's any slam dunk. It seems like Ward's probably the best bet, although there's a lot of people. I don't think GMs really care, but I'm sure a lot of fans soured on what he did recently as well, where he basically got his record and then bailed on the second half
that
of the
ridiculous.
Game against, you know, for Miami, just left his teammates high and dry.
Now, I'm sure some people will argue, what makes what Cam Ward different than what Saquon Barkley would do if he plays in this game against the Giants and gains 100 yards and then sits out the rest of the half against the Giants? He gets his record.
Well, first off, I don't think that's a Saquon decision. I think that's a Eagles decision.
I think it's a Saquon in conjunction with the Eagles decision.
I don't know if he's going to play at all.
I think he's going to play.
You think so?
I think he's going to break the record.
He needs just over 100 yards.
He needs 100 yards.
I think it was kind of a big deal for him to get 2,000 in 16 games.
Huge.
By the way, because obviously he was going to get it in 17. We know that. But the fact that he was able to get it to 16 games, which is, you know, more. When you think of the people who got to 2,000, they all did it in 16 or fewer games, right?
And think about Brock Bowers beating Mike Ditka's record for receiving yards. Ditka did it in, what, 14 games? Brock Bowers did it in 16?
I was wondering, is the rushing record a 16-game record, or was it done in 14 games by Dickerson?
No, I'm pretty sure that was a 16-game thing.
Because that was probably, what, early 80s? And I'm not sure when they went from 14 to 16 games.
It was the 1984 season. And Eric Dickerson played 16 games, yes. But he rushed for 2,105 yards.
It would be hard to justify playing Barkley in that game if you're Philadelphia and your goal is to win a championship, though, right? I mean, you're solely looking at it as accomplishing an individual feat in that regard, because I think they are locked into the second seed no matter what.
Yes.
Am I correct on that?
Barkley is currently at 2,005 yards. Dickerson is 2,105 as the total mark. Now, back to the chances for the division. I think there's a better chance that Saquon Barkley breaks the record than the Steelers win the division. The Ravens, 18.5-point favorites. It's the biggest point spread in the NFL this season, according to Pro Football Talk. Last time the NFL had an 18-point spread was 2021. The Cardinals were 7-0, and they beat the 1-6 Texans as 18-point favorites, 31-5. So something about the Texans and safeties. I mean, they had one against Baltimore was their only points. 5 points against the Cardinals in this matchup against Arizona in 2021. And the last time the NFL had a spread over 18 points, which it is right now at 18.5, was 2020. The 7-1 Chiefs were 20-point favorites against the 0-8 Jets, and the Chiefs won it 35-9. So don't hedge your bets on the Steelers winning the division right now. But a huge question, I think, is, what constitutes a successful season for the Steelers right now? And what would a successful season be in your mind? Because we always, and I parallel it to the Pitt season a little bit, because Pitt started 7-0 since the first time since the early 80s. There was a lot of optimism. And then some of the harder teams, the Clemsons, the SMUs were on the schedule, and they started to really, we've really found out who Pitt was. Now, I don't think anybody could have projected a loss to Toledo in the Game Above Sports Bowl in 6 overtime as a way to end the season. But you don't remember the 7-0 start. Like, we are not going to remember this Pitt season from the 7-0 start. We're going to remember it from the collapse that was a 6-game losing streak to end it.
Yeah, not all seasons that are, would they finish 7-6?
Yes.
They're not all created the same, because it depends on, you know, if you were 3-4 and then had a winning stretch in the back half of the season and got a win or two against ranked teams, you probably feel a heck of a lot better, even though you ended up at the same record. It's kind of how it unfolded, and that brings back the 11-0 start for the Steelers. No one would say that was a great season,
no,
even though their record in the end, if you just look at it without context, looked good. It's how you got there and how you finished that would pretty much universally deem that an unsuccessful season.
Would you call the 13-3 season and the loss against Jacksonville in the playoffs as a successful season? I call it a successful regular season. I call
right.
it somewhat successful, but I wouldn't deem it in the successful category as one I look back on fondly. And if this is trending in that direction, 10-3 to now 10-6, if you lose to Cincinnati, you're 10-7, and you go to Baltimore, and I don't think they win that, you end the season 10-8 on a 5-game losing streak. In whatsoever way you want to spin it, it is not a successful year.
There's a lot of teams in the NFL, or you could apply this to a lot of sports, that if you have a good regular season, that is a successful season. I would say the Commanders, it's a successful season no matter what they do in the playoffs.
Well,
for
think
them.
About their expectations coming into this year, too.
Right.
And now, what were the Steelers' expectations
coming
into this
year? Well, that
was my
point. For the Steelers, it's been a long time where you could say having a good record in the regular season would in itself be considered a successful season.
So,
I think you could have a great regular season if you're one and done. That's going to be the biggest takeaway. And I know Joe has made that point. For the Steelers, pretty much, you know, short of going 17-0, I don't see any regular season accomplishments being an overall successful season if they don't win a postseason game.
At the start of the year, I said 10-7 and the 7 seed. They sneak into the playoffs because I didn't know what it was going to look like with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. But guess what? Expectations change when you have more data, when you have more to go off of, and we see it play out on the field, and we say, oh, maybe this team is better than we initially gave them credit for. My expectations changed to winning the division. And when they had one specific game to be able to do that against Baltimore, this could have been wrapped up a week or so ago, my expectations significantly changed. And I thought winning the division, being the 3 seed, was what was realistic and what should have been the ultimate case. Let's hear from you at 412-928-9370. The time is 11:23. Brought to you by Gina G. Impetro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Let's go on to the fan hotline and hear from Rob in O'Hara. What's up, Rob?
Hey, you're doing a great job. They should call you AB Unlimited.
Thank you, Rob.
You got unlimited talent.
Appreciate it.
But one of your earlier callers stole my thunder. Here's what I think. If the Steelers win one of these last two games, I think it's going to harm things more than it would help. And I'll tell you the reason why. This team needs to be tore down to the studs. And clearly Mike Tomlin is not the man to lead this team. He's talking about change now. Tigers don't change their stripes. He's not the Pope. He should, if he won't resign, then Rooney should fire him. If you look at what he does, his evaluation, his inability to teach these players, the lack of discipline, the draft record, you got to change this culture. I heard what you were saying the other day about bringing in Darnold. But the problem is, you still got Mike Tomlin, and he has no experience developing a quarterback.
Now, so, Rob, let me ask you this. I don't think that the Steelers have even thought in the back of their mind that Mike Tomlin is the main root of these problems and that he would be the guy that they would move off of, considering they just gave him an extension months ago. So what rock bottom do you think they need to hit for that to actually be something that comes to fruition? Is this it?
I don't know if it ever will. I think, Rooney is just I'm willing to do it. I mean, as long as they're making money, that's all they care about. But this is the perfect time to move on. And one of the big reasons I say that is we got all this cap money at the end of this year, and it's time to bring in somebody else and let him develop the team, not Tomlin. We've seen enough of Tomlin for a long time. He can't do it. He's not, he's a talker, but he's not a doer. And non-losing seasons don't cut it in this time. It just doesn't. It's not enough. When you got your players losing the game in Cleveland and they're out on the field doing snow angels, I mean, you got to be kidding me here. This is outrageous. It's time for him to go. Rooney should give him a gold watch and say, thank you, Mike, for your service, but it's time for you to get on with your life's work.
Thanks.
You know, maybe if he gets that watch, maybe he can figure out how to do some clock management.
Thanks, Rob. What a great way to end that. To end that call from Rob and O'Hara. Because Tomlin clock management, I keep thinking, like, Tomlin needs a coach in the booth or on the sideline with them to help with clock management and to help with to clock management, any timeout usage, and challenges.
And score scenario. Did you not think it was kind of ridiculous that they were down three scores? I think they were down 19, and they had like a fourth and 15 in field goal range. They decided to go for it. It became, I think, a fourth and 20 after a penalty. They got no points, knowing that they were down three scores and a field goal would have made a two-score game. But then later on, they punted when it was fourth and two.
Yeah, I can't.
So it was just kind of backwards in terms of like the game scenario based on the score and really not maximizing your potential. They weren't going to come back no matter what, but you still, as a coach, have to maximize your team's potential. Getting a field goal makes it a two-score game, and you have the best field goal kicker in the league. I thought that was a baffling decision.
And they have, Mike Tomlin has waved the white flag in all three games at times where he has just decided to punt with just a couple of, the Philadelphia game, they never got the ball back with 10 and a half left. It's a two score game. Go for it. Like, what do you have to lose at that point?
Didn't they also keep some key starters in after they punted it away and basically waved the white flag, including, I think, Watt was in there after
that? Well, think about the Chiefs game. You decide to punt on fourth down instead of go for it, and then you keep Cam Hayward and other starters in the game. How does that make any sense? To me, it just completely doesn't. So somebody texts in on the text line saying the extension is irrelevant. How is the extension irrelevant? I mean, does everybody not remember? I mean, when you watch the press conference of Art Rooney talking with Mike Tomlin about the extension, and Art Rooney saying how much Mike Tomlin means to this organization, I think that people don't realize that that extension with Tomlin means much more than just coaching the team. Mike Tomlin is significantly involved in a lot of the personnel moves, and I think just the character of what the front office is. Personally, I think that Art Rooney doesn't look at Mike Tomlin as just a coach. I think Mike Tomlin is looked at in that organization as an executive, even though he is the coach. He's kind of viewed as an executive, and he's viewed, I think, as part of this big Steelers conglomerate of a family, much more than anyone else on this coaching staff, or maybe even in the organization, for the longevity that he's had and the consistency that they've had, because the Steelers are always relevant. They're always relevant. They never bottom out, but they're at the same time never at the point where the expectations always should be, with the standard as the standard. We're always told, what is the standard now, Mike? Because it's become your floor. Your ceiling is now your floor. You either are a 500 team or you finish a couple games over 500 and you lose in the first round of the playoffs. And that's become the new standard. Here's Jay in Columbus. What's up, Jay?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, 8 years is a long time, and the one constant is Mike Tomlin. We're ninth in terms of a drought in the playoffs. Of those eight teams that are above us, all the coaches have been whacked more than once, twice at a minimum. I don't know what you guys are looking at, but the only constant is Mike Tomlin. The guy has a losing record in December. He's been blown out in the playoffs the last five times, embarrassed. He has no coaching tree, zero. He's been a head coach for 18 years. He surrounds himself with bums. I mean, the fact that he let Brian Flores go is absolutely astonishing. He ran off Bruce Arians, who he probably ran off Munchak. The yep. O-line should have been fired last year. He is pathetic. So if I'm Khan and I'm Andy Weidel, I'm going to Art and saying, look, he's the only constant. Well, I don't know why we gave him an extension. It was moronic to give him an extension. And his word salad is wearing out with a lot of critical thinking Steeler fans. And obviously, you guys aren't seeing the product or paying attention. But 9-8 teams are above us without wins. Every single one of those teams has fired their coach twice. Let that sink in.
Yeah, it's hard to take, Joe, Jay, and I appreciate the call. When I also think about the way that this has transpired over the last couple of weeks, they got out-coached by Sirianni. They got out-coached by Andy Reid. There's no doubt about that. And John Harbaugh, who Mike Tomlin usually out-coaches, out-coached Mike Tomlin. And I don't think that's up for much debate. Now, at the same time, Tomlin deserves a lot of blame. I am not saying otherwise. Tomlin did not fumble at the 5-yard line. Tomlin did not throw a pick six to Marlon Humphrey to lose the game. Tomlin did not leave Xavier Worthy open for a touchdown or Travis Kelce open in the middle of the field significant times. But Tomlin does have a significant part in the say in his defense. This is Tomlin's defense. I don't care. It's not Terrell Austin's defense. It's not. If Brian Flores was the defensive coordinator who should have got promoted instead of Terrell Austin sticking around, then it probably would be his defense. But does Tomlin have a problem having somebody have as big of a voice in the room as him? That's been a constant debate about him from a lot of people that's called in, that's texted in, that's tweeted in, that Mike Tomlin did not want to divvy up some power to Brian Flores. And that's the situation why we're in. Think about the coaching tree that Bill Cowher had and the coaching tree that Mike Tomlin has right now. What coaching tree does Mike Tomlin have? Over the last couple years, he drafted Kenny Pickett. He brought in Matt Canada, which was a complete and utter disaster. And he's kept Terrell Austin around with his defense, the highest paid defense in the NFL, where their offense is on the bottom of the NFL, bottom five, bottom three in the NFL in offensive spending, where the game continues to trend in offense, continues to go to the offensive side of the ball. Well, they're not paying Russell Wilson anything. Well, they're also not paying any of their wide receivers anything. And their offensive line other than Isaac Seumalo. And their running backs. It's time to invest a significant amount of money on the offensive side of the ball as well. And that's another thing that has passed Mike Tomlin by that it just doesn't seem like he can identify where he wants to win on defense over everything else. 412-928-9370 if you want to chime in. We're going to hit a break and we'll get to you as well on the other side. Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week, the Pop and Joe Show. For the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry, Starkey's Card of the Week with Jeff Patton. On with us every Wednesday at the end of the 10 o'clock hour. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 at the 937thefan.com contesting page. So go to 937thefan.com to look for that, and you can find it at noon. Up next, we'll get more into Mike Tomlin and what he might say at the top of the hour for the Mike Tomlin press conference that Bob Pompeiani will prepare. And Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette will join me for the press conference, and we'll immediately react to it. We'll get to your calls as well on the other side. Austin Bechtold with you on the Pomp and Joe Show from behind the glass to behind the mic on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Minutes away from Mike Tomlin, the Mike Tomlin press conference before the final regular season game of the year at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. It'll be Saturday at 8 o'clock at Acrisure Stadium. Austin Bechtold with you on the Pomp and Joe Show and for Bob Pompeiani, who is getting ready for the Mike Tomlin press conference, and Joe Starkey, who is off today. Text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Kabali with a tweet saying from week 15 to 18, the Steelers have or will have played on a Sunday, Saturday, Wednesday, and a Saturday. So much for a routine. I do wonder how much that might have to do with this, but I still factor in that the Chiefs and the Ravens went 3-0 against them, and that's who a lot of people like to try to compare the Steelers as a litmus test for how much they can compete in the AFC this year. And people say, well, I don't know if you can really compare them to the Ravens. Everybody says that the Steelers have the Ravens number, so why not compare them to the Ravens? History shows that the Steelers constantly beat the Ravens. Why not be able to compare them there? But yeah, not having a routine, I'm sure, has hurt Mike Tomlin in preparation because it seems like Mike Tomlin on short weeks, it's backed up by facts and history, isn't necessarily great in those situations. Now, he is good at home in prime time, standalone games. And I do think that Hard Knocks does have something to do with the game between Cleveland and Baltimore at 4:30 and Cincinnati and the Steelers being at 8 o'clock on the same day. I think it does have something to do with it. Maybe it's editing purposes. Maybe it's Hard Knocks storyline. I mean, so much is devoured in the NFL now based off of TV ratings and just TV broadcasters having so much of a say in the NFL. I mean, now we have Netflix and Amazon Prime having significant impacts on games. So it would not surprise me at all if Hard Knocks had a huge say in these games being Saturday.
Alan Saunders will fight you over that.
He already tried to on Twitter.
He's a good guy, though. I like him.
Bob backed me up on it on Twitter. How about that?
So you have a little battle going here. Sides, lines have been drawn.
No lines drawn with Alan Saunders. Alan Saunders, one of my main mentors in the business for journalism.
He is a deck hockey opponent of mine.
Really?
He runs a team and I run a team, and they have been so bad for so many years, but they had a resurgent year this year. So he's really starting to build a winner. He started from scratch, you know, like the Steelers are afraid to do. He kind of tore it all down, but he's built it back up to be a quality team. So congrats to him.
So Alan said Hard Knocks is post-produced. Why would it have anything to do with when the games are played? Well, there is also more time to be able to edit it. And I said, why would Hard Knocks not want that storyline? He said they were going to play on the same day no matter what. I don't know what them being the only games does for anyone. Well, what if the Steelers were playing on Sunday and the Ravens and the Browns were playing on Saturday? And that was possible. So what... Basically, the point I was trying to get across was what Bob said. He said a lot, I suspect, that Hard Knocks has to do with it. Extra day of editing. Sunday would have made it very difficult to do some post-production work. And I also think that so many of these TV shows, especially we're not getting the behind the scenes like we used to with Hard Knocks 5-10 years ago. We're just not getting as much. It's so game-based. I think Hard Knocks would want to play off of, hey, it's the AFC North on the same day to determine who wins the division. I think that's huge to Hard Knocks, and I think that's what they tried to sell to the NFL. Just my personal beliefs and theory on that. Let's go to Rob. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good.
All right, so I saw the post-game celebration with the Vikings last night, so looks like there's a good chance they're going to re-sign Darnold.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to think.
I think the Steelers should make a trade offer for J.J. McCarthy. What do you think?
So, Rob, somebody pointed this out to me on Twitter that they would trade a first-round draft pick for J.J. McCarthy. I am personally not a J.J. McCarthy fan. I think he was huge in that system at Michigan with Jim Harbaugh and the weapons he had around him, because I predicted Roman Wilson to be my Steelers rookie of the year this year. I thought that he was a huge part of that offense. Plus, their offensive line was the best in football. Sean, I don't know if you were at the game, but the Michigan game where they ran against Penn State 32 times in a row.
Yeah.
And just completely beat up. Their offensive line was one of the best in football. Their receivers were pretty good, and their running backs were very good. I think J.J. McCarthy had everything set up on a tee for him to succeed.
Oh, and he had Roman Wilson, who's clearly a terrific receiver. Now, I think McCarthy's okay, but honestly, I think if the Steelers are going to go that route to get a young quarterback, they'd probably rather just draft their own guy. Because realistically, even if you draft in the early to mid-20s, you might be able to get a quarterback as talented as McCarthy.
So what is intriguing about McCarthy to you, Rob?
In Alabama was pretty impressive, I think. And also, the people on ESPN, they all said he was having a really good camp. So he played under O'Connell, so I'm sure he learned a few things from O'Connell.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he probably did learn something from one of the best offensive minds in all of football in the NFL right now, from the guy who will probably win coach of the year.
But he would be basically starting from scratch. I mean, obviously he didn't even make it to play in the regular season this year, so his rookie year is a wash. That's tough. He's coming in basically on, you know, even footing with what rookies will be, other than the fact that he's had the playbook, but you know, he's not gotten any game reps. So I mean, that's kind of a risk. If you trade for a guy like that, you still probably have to have a veteran that you expect to be your starting quarterback to begin the season. I don't think you could just hand over the keys to a guy like J.J. McCarthy.
I wouldn't do it. No, I would not do it at all. Because I also look at McCarthy and I say he was the worst quarterback, I think, out of the six coming out of the class. He was picked ahead of who? Only Bo Nix went below him. I don't think that anybody would say Bo Nix is not better than J.J. McCarthy right now. And I know we haven't got a chance to see McCarthy. But I feel like he has no traits that stand out to you that you say, wow. right? I mean,
it seems like more intangibles than actual physical tools with him, right? And that's valuable, but I mean, intangibles only get you so far.
Like Michael Penix, arm strength. We saw it last night. It's there. Accuracy. Penix missed a couple of deep balls. Really good player. Caleb Williams kind of has the it factor. Now Chicago, he's kind of that situation around him. It shows that coaching matters. They fire Eberflus. They change play callers. Their offensive line is a disaster. I mean, you can't all do it on your own. Like Jaden Daniels has somewhat done that, but he also has Cliff Kingsbury. And when you think about the succession that Bo Nix has had, all the success that he's had with Denver, I mean, he also has Cortland Sutton. He has a running game. He has an offensive line that they've invested in. Let's go to Brian in the car. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, a couple quick points here. The thing that's most frustrating to me about Tomlin defenses is the confusion that seems to constantly exist every year late in the season to just get beat man-on-man or whatever is one thing. But when guys are not even in a spot to defend and it's constantly happening, it seems like it always happens. When the season gets on, these guys should be locked in. If it's too confusing, I don't understand why they just don't dumb it down then so these guys can handle it. I'd rather them at least be in a position to defend than just guys running wide open. As far as the quarterback situation goes, guys, I don't know why everybody is just dismissing Justin Fields, okay? I would do this. I would commit to Justin Fields next year. I give Baltimore credit. When they went with Lamar, they went all in. I would do that. What's the worst thing that can happen? He turns out being a good quarterback, or if not, then maybe you get your 5-6 win year season that you can – draft higher. There's no other way to get a good quarterback in the draft without trading away your best players or multiple drafts, or you got to have a bad year.
Right, and I appreciate the call, Brian. I do think that could be a possibility that they bring back Justin Fields. I do wonder if that sample size with Justin Fields in the 6 games showed you enough to think that he could be a franchise quarterback, though. Does he have enough touch on the football? Like, that's one thing that Russell Wilson does really well that I think Fields doesn't. The accuracy on the deep ball, it's occasionally there. He doesn't have enough loft on the ball, though, and that kind of worries me. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Bob Pompiani earlier today was brought to you on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Somebody else says, Austin, what's up with your boy Drew Aller in the first round? I think he might be a good NFL quarterback. Drew Aller is coming back to Penn State next year. I would be completely fine if Drew Aller is the Steelers quarterback, maybe picked in the draft the year after that, because I think his draft stock will go up after this year. And somebody on the text line also says, Sean, don't call me. Seth Meyers is a beast. How about that, Sean?
Yeah, I guess I owe them some money for sending that in, so I'll pay up.
Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevy. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevy EV models. Up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. Showers today and cool with a high of 49 and a low of 34. The Mike Tomlin press conference is next. Austin Bechtold in for Pomp and Joe on the Pomp and Joe Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Sean Myers bringing you Fan Headlines. Monday Night Football, Lions at Niners tonight, 8:15 kick. Our pregame via Westwood One begins at 7:30. You can listen to that right here.